child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you. Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her. Stay by her side. Love her like Jesus. The gifts lying in wait in the room painted blue. Little blessing from heaven would be here soon.
Amen. It's good to have all of you back. Enjoy the singing tonight. It was wonderful. As they sang, it reminded me of the four men that carried the man of palsy up onto the roof and let him down. They didn't have all the answers. Sometimes that's, I think, what hinders us a lot. Well, I don't have this answer, I have that answer. They do one thing, they have to get him to Jesus. I tell you, that's important. Good to have you here. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Brother Chase is back with us. Went down to Honduras, spent some time down there. He's back up, going to get some eye surgery here shortly. Y'all pray for him. He brought me a letter, said Brother Hector sent you a letter. And when I opened it up, it's all in Spanish, Brother Duane. Every bit of it. So I went to Brother Felipe and a whole page of Spanish words. He said, thank you very much for the love offer. That's what he said. Pray for them. They are definitely in need of prayer and the sponsorship and that help with the feeding, kitchen, and evangelism for sure. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 tonight. Genesis chapter number 3. Don't forget to do all the signing up after church over there. I mean, it looks like a... That looks getting to look like a contract to buy a car. So many places you've got to sign up over there, but it's not for everybody. Make sure you sign up on the same one. I know you that are over 50 would like to be in the youth zone, but You want to be counted for the food at the over 50 meal, and that is an evening event, so sign up there. I see this ring is still here. Don't forget that belongs to you. The ring is still here. If not, we'll take it to the pawn shop. We'll give it about three more services, and we'll take it, put it toward buying some paper or something. A couple of things we'll talk about before I get started. Men, we are leaving at 2 o'clock, so if you're going to go to that event, please be here ready to go at 2 o'clock. I know we normally leave earlier, but we got some folks that had to work, and so we didn't want them to choose work or go, and so please be here at 2 o'clock. We're not going to have the meeting after church for the Soldiers Across Youth Rally. I'm going to tell you what we've already got, and you keep helping me. We've already got the dessert. It's going to be a popcorn bar that Sister Amanda's going to put together. I've never had caramel drizzle sprinkle filled popcorn, but it sounds good, and she's going to do that for us. Brother Judd has already worked on a couple of skits he told me about. We need a couple more. Brother Scott said he was going to lead the congregation singing, didn't he, Brother Scott?
I can't.
Okay. Scott's going to do that. And Sister Lois and Sister Haley, y'all going to be able to get those groups to sing a couple of songs that night each. Remember, we don't have Brother Corn this time. So we're going to do that. And we're working on food still. So if you got an idea for food, write it down. I gave you a piece of paper. Hand it to me after church. You said, Pastor, well, why are we not going to have the meeting? You said we were. Well, my Sunday school class is going to get ice cream as soon as choir's over. And ice cream is just called. Over here at the Market Basket, they just opened up a new ice cream shop right over here on Osceola Parkway before you go. And so I don't want to hang around and talk about salty foods. I want to go get some salty caramel ice cream. So that is why. I'm being selfish and carnal tonight. I want to go spend time with our Sunday school class. But they also wanted to invite any of y'all that wanted to come. Yes, Brother Hector. No, we've got to have a choir practice. Brother Jim is hung around here. He won't keep you long, and I won't keep you long either. Over here at the Market Basket, there's a little ice cream shop just opened up right beside it. I think it's called Sweet Cones or Double Scoop. I don't know. What is it? Sweet stuff? Sweet scoops. And come join us if you want to come get some ice cream. And that would be what we're going to do. Genesis chapter 3. Now, we have gone verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this here, up to this point. We're going to keep going that way. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 just to get us started with. And we're going to talk a little bit. And we're going to back up and read a couple of verses in chapter 2 to help us get caught up. But let's read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Hold yourself there and flip over to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right, so this is the beginning of the recording of the fall of man. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 31, you'll see it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, in my opinion, when God says here, I saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In my opinion, this is including all the spiritual beings, such as Lucifer. I don't believe the fall of Lucifer had happened yet at this time. I don't believe the one third of the angels had been cast out, because God said everything was good. I believe it included that. Now, sometime after this point, you'll have to do a different study, but there was a rebellion that took place. Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit on His throne. Well, God is God. God took and rounded them up, one third of the angels He cast out. Some of them so wicked and so vile and so corrupt that they're bound in rivers with chains. They're vile. I mean, they're just wicked, wicked beings there. But they're created beings, and God said everything was good. If you'll notice here in chapter 2 and verse 15, 16, and 17, God gave some divine instructions to Adam and to Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we have some divine instructions here, which means and tells me that God has given man and Eve, Adam and Eve both, He's given them a free moral ability to choose. If not, He wouldn't have gave this command here. Because He gave the garden to all of them. They could partake of it, eat of it. Then He said, but. So there's a free will. There's a we're creatures of choice. And we know, because we've read this portion over here in 6 and 7 of Genesis chapter 3, the choice that they made. You say, well, why didn't God just say, here is the garden, Adam and Eve, you can have every bit of it. Why was that? Because God desires for us to choose to serve Him. Choose to love Him. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want people that just must and have to. I mean, you know, if we were created in such a way that we just automatically love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, dear friend, there would be, it would just be mundane. But let me tell you something. When God looks down at sinners, people who make free moral choices, people that make choices daily, and they choose. Now, just put yourself in a situation. You wake up at 6 o'clock maybe one day. Your alarm says 6 o'clock. You get up. You get your little Bible time. You get your little prayer time. You eat your little breakfast. Get some Kellogg's and you eat them down. You go out the door. You give the wife a kiss. You say goodbye to the dog. You know, you get to work. Hello, boss. How you doing? Glad I'm here. I'm ready to work. You work hard. Come 3 o'clock. You clock out. You're headed home. And you know, and you're put on the radio, and you're singing, you're praising God, you're worshiping God. You get ready that Wednesday night, you go to church, you listen, you're sitting up, you're interested in the message, you act like you really want to be in the house of God, you're in tune with God, you go to bed, man, it's a wonderful day, right? Then there's some other days when you don't say, I love you, honey. You don't say goodbye to the dog, you keep that sucker around the house and out the corner. And you're mad from the time you got up out of bed. Then you realize you're wrong. You realize you made that mistake. And you choose to do right. And how much more are you showing your love to God when you choose to do right? So the free will is it's a needful thing. It is a needful thing. I mean, you're volumes speak when we walk in obedience. When we walk and step in obedience, dear friend, we speak love to our Father. That's the language He understands. Because it was disobedience that caused Him to have to give His Son to die on the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. So when obedience, I mean that walk in obedience, you're speaking love. That's a love language God understands, dear friends. I think he kind of says that over in the New Testament. Somebody got a little help over there. What does he say in the New Testament? By this shall, what's that? Brother Jim, I saw you about to say that. By this they'll know. Why will they know? Because the first greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, second, love thy neighbor. By this they'll know. Why? You're obedient to what God said. Well, it's kind of a unique thing here. Now, verse 1, chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I've always pondered this, Brother Judd. I've thought about this. Why in the world, Sister Jill, did God not have some little teacup poodle walk up to them and start talking? Why did Satan not choose a teacup poodle? Why didn't he use a little of a kitty cat purring? How many of you walk around touching snakes? Did y'all see this here last week, maybe this weekend? A 17-foot python with like 80 eggs or something like that. That means 80 more than crazy pythons that grow 17 feet. But a serpent, how many of you ladies got serpents at home? Got snakes. I'm not talking about your husband. I saw you put your eyes on him. Pastor, I got eyes, sir. He is a low-down, snake-crawling. No, that's what was the result of the fall. I personally, this thing must have been a beautiful little thing to talk to. It may have been the resemblance of a teacup poodle. Who knows? We do know that it was a serpent. It was more subtle than any beast of the field. And it didn't bother Eve for it to come talking. But what else amazes me is that when Satan's in this serpent and working through this serpent, Satan never said to Eve, by the way, Miss Eve, I am God's arch enemy. Never did he? And guess what? He still don't today. I don't know why we think that the devil's just going to pop up on the scene and jump out with his pitchfork and poke us in the side right there. We're going to say, listen, I am the devil. I am evil. How many of y'all ever saw Doolittle? What's his name right there? Mountie? That Canadian Mountie? Dudley Do-Right. How many ever saw that? And his master, that old drunk sensei, he said, I am evil. The devil doesn't do that, does he? The Bible tells us the devil approaches us as an angel of light. That tells me that this serpent was probably pretty, maybe beautiful. I don't know. Maybe attractive. We do know he was subtle. We do know that Satan was in him and he was working through him. And Satan didn't just say, well, yeah, I'm here. I'm the enemy of God. I was up there and I told God I was going to be like him and God cast me out. That conversation never come around, did it? Never came around. Satan begins to bring on the temptation. The tactics of Satan in this day in the Garden of Eden has not changed in all of these years, dear friend. No, they have not changed. Look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, let's go back, read again what God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did anybody see there, neither shall ye touch it? Did you see this? So now we got a problem. Eve's talking to a serpent that is very subtle. The devil's very subtle. The Bible warns us about the wiles of the devil. The Bible also warns us in the New Testament that we're to be simple to the wicked. I never in my life had lived in such a day, in all of my livings, of a generation that loves devin around in the dark stuff. Amen. Well, Pastor, if I can figure it out, I'll stay away from it. God said, be simple to the wicked. Amen. Be simple to the wicked. Well, why is that? Well, flip over to Ezekiel chapter 28. I want you to look how wise and the wisdom of Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, the devil, the deceiver, the accuser, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 28, verse 17. Ezekiel 28, verse 17, the Bible says, thine heart was lifted up because of the of thy beauty. This is talking about Lucifer. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. It's no wonder the Bible says in the New Testament that he approaches us as an angel of light. No wonder. This is how God describes Lucifer. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may hold thee. So, you know, here he is, Satan goes up into this serpent, however it worked, and he began to work and talk through this serpent and began to speak with Eve. And Eve says here, it adds to the Word of God. The Bible warned us about adding to the Word of God. Well, Pastor, if we go an inch further than what God's Word says, aren't we better off? How do you figure? That, you know what you just said? God, you don't know what you're talking about. God, what you said is law. What you said is fact. What you said is absolute. I am going to go extra. Is it a sin to go extra? No, but what you can't rely on the extra and say my extra is better than God's 100%. Don't get that away, because this is what happens. She added to the Word of God. When you start adding to the Word of God, it's nothing for Satan to subtract from. Here we are. We're in the middle of the garden, and she says, neither shall we touch it. So what does the serpent say? In verse number 3, but of the fruit, she says here at the end of the verse number 3, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Wait a minute, what did God say? He did speak a little truth here, didn't he? Matter of fact, I think if you do your math right, you do a little bit of math problem right here, I think the devil spoke four-fifths truth. What did God say? Go back over in the second Genesis chapter 2. But of the tree, of verse 17, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die. Verse 4. Serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He added one word, not. She added, Satan added. Before long, the trap set. The trap is set. The whole sad thing about this whole situation is, Mr. Adam, now he's pondering. He understands. She's taken. She saw. She covered. She took. She ate. Now, remember? God created all the animals. There was none found for Adam. God made Eve. Now he's got a choice. Instead of understanding that God could have made him another Eve, I'm not a medical person. Some of you nurses help me. How many ribs we got all together? Total. I know this. Let's see. I can feel them. 3 inches in there. 1, 2, There's 11. Anyway, I got 11 on one side right there. That's 11 women. God took one, made a woman. He's got a choice he's got to make, right? When God brought Eve to Adam, he was like, wow. Now he's standing there. Eve's having this conversation. Eve's seen the fruit. No doubt it was a good fruit to look upon. No doubt it was something to be desired. No doubt it was something that caught her eye. I don't know if it was day by day, week by week as she passed by. I don't know for a fact that one of those times whenever God had come down in the cool of the day and spent some time walking around in fellowship with Adam and Eve, that they had not passed by this very same place time and time again. I do know that Adam, he ain't far from here. He's not far from here. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? In verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. She didn't send a 99-yard Hail Mary. This was a handoff. This wasn't a toss. She didn't throw a slant. Adam didn't hide over behind the rose bush. And she gave also. And she's got to make a choice. How many times we've done the same thing? We blame old Adam. We blamed old Adam, but there's been times and times in our life where we've stood there and we've watched somebody else and we know they've done wrong. But we got to make a choice. Adam could have made a different choice, and God could have made another, I don't know, could have been Sarah. Could have ended up with a, I don't know, whatever God, isn't that funny how God names folks? Adam and Eve. Huh, man and woman. Pretty simple, ain't it? God wanted us to know for a fact that we were man and woman, right? All I'm saying is that God could have fixed the situation there. But Adam, because the bloodline came, the blood of sin came from Adam. For by one man's disobedience, sin, is what Romans chapter 5 said, verse 12, sin into the world. Four-fifths of truth. How many of you have ever failed a four-fifths of truth? How many of you ever justified it? I've done it. I've justified it. I'm almost in the right here. Almost in the right. You know what that means? 100% in the wrong. I've almost got this figured out, and it's almost, I've almost got the scripture twisted around. Adam was not deceived. Adam deliberately, knowingly, willfully sinned. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. How many of you know some folks, dear friend, instead of staying on the ground, standing flat-footed on 2 feet, and tell the truth, they'd rather climb up a tree, hang off by one arm, and tell you a lie. They go step around the difficult way of things to tell you a lie instead of standing flat-footed and tell you the straight-up truth. You know where that came from? The devil. The Bible says in John, I believe John chapter 8, somewhere around 41, 42, 44, somewhere around there, it says, he's the father of lies. Started right back down there. Thou shalt not surely die. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in transgression, notwithstanding she shall be saved, childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. God said there in verse 14, that Adam was not deceived. Adam willfully chose. He saw his wife take of that fruit, being tricked by the devil, having words twisted back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know what happened? Verse 7, back in Genesis. When the woman saw the tree was good, she gave to her husband. Look at what happened. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Wait a minute, verse 25 of chapter 2. Verse 25 of chapter 2, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Verse 7, chapter 3, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Their eyes were open. The consciousness of sin, the separation, the death that God was talking about, it didn't necessarily mean they were going to physically die at that point. We do know that death came. Genesis chapter 5, Adam died at 900 years of age. 900 something, he died, but he was separated. Now, whereas before, the glory of God had shadowed about and around them and covered that which we do know now is shameful, the nakedness. When they sinned, the glory of God backed away. And the conscience was made aware of sin, separated from God. Separated. Look at verses 8 through 13. I'm not going to read them, but they heard a voice. Here's the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to read them. I got time. My ice cream's away. It ain't going to melt. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Here's something I just want to say in pause as we pass by through here. Ponder this for a minute. You think for a moment God had known already they were in sin? And He still came. That's the kind of Father we have. I don't know why we think we can hide from God, get away. We think we're going to get away from Him. Hey, dear friend, He loves you. He came looking for them. He came and sought them. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto them. Not only did He come to the garden of Eden, but they hid themselves. He called out. That's how God works. Now, let's just come back. Come back. Let's reason together. Let's get this right. Verse 10, He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. That's what Adam said. I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And He said, who told thee that thou was naked? And this is what God said. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? You see how God works? God already knew. He knew that they had already eaten and partaken. He knew when He got down there. He already understood where they were at, where they were hiding. You know what God's trying to do right now? He's trying to get Adam and Eve to realize what they had done. Just like us, Adam and Eve did what? Professional, what would be the word? Excusers? Just, that's what we do. Professional, making excuses. All right, let's read on. Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me the tree. Up the tree, and I did eat. In other words, she put a figure four, a full nest around me, forced it in my mouth, and I chewed it up, God. It was that woman you gave me. Professional excuser. Passing the buck. Blaming somebody else. God wanted them to know they had messed up. You know you'll never get right with God until you own your own sin. God's not going to, He's already provided redemption. He just wants you to realize where you're at. Well, of course, you know that didn't work. Verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled, and I did eat. Now that's the serpent's fault. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Now you understand why you're afraid of snakes? You understand why they're crawling around in the belly now, eating the dust of the ground, in the holes and things like that? You know why people get shovels and chop at them? Get shotguns and shoot at them? That's why. Well, Pastor, you know, that was a good snake. God didn't make the differentiation. Every one of them swerving around on their belly right now. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15. Okay, lady, you didn't catch it. You didn't get it right. So now, here you go. I will put in between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Do you understand something just happened right there? We're going to get to that verse next week. I don't have time right now. God dealt with the serpent because he done dealt with Satan once again. He said, I'm done with you. Before he dealt with man and woman, what did he do? He put redemption on the table. That's how God works.
Amen.
That's redemption. That's the story of redemption right here. The fall has just happened. That's how God works, dear friend. Before he deals with you where you're at. Because he done got their mind on it. God is the woman, God is the serpent. Right here. God began to lay out the redemption plan. Next week we'll look at that more. We're going to move on to verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Isn't that amazing? Thy sorrow and thy conception. Thy sorrow and thy conception. A lot of people get this wrong. It's just the sorrow, of the birth and the pains and the bringing forth of the child. I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Thy sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and desire shall be to thy husband, and to he shall rule over thee. That's the results of sin, dear friend. I can't imagine how. I've been in there 8 times. Where I tell you. Lord, have mercy. It's painful. It's hard. It's difficult. But that's the result of sin. Then he says to man, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. You know why we got them honeydews, men? Adam hearkened unto his wife. He hearkened unto their wife. And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Isn't that amazing? God cursed the ground so we'd have to be busy. Not on mine's the devil's workshop. Because, man, you hearken unto the voice of your wife, you did eat of that tree, which I said you shouldn't eat of, the cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. This is the result. This is why we work for. This is why we labor. It's for our own good. When do you find yourself in trouble? When you're sitting around doing nothing? God said, I cursed the ground for your sake. It's to help you. It's to help you to get busy. Not if we're going to prevent sin. So the result of the fall of man for men is that we have to labor and work. And you say, well, I'm getting tired of this work. Become sinless. How's that going to happen when we get that glorified body? Because of sin, we have to labor. Not only that, the earth, the ground. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. God then, we're going to get on into that next week. I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to say a few things in passing. We have the result of the fall of man, verses 7 through 24, as we read through there. The woman must have sorrow and pain in childbearing. Ground is cursed also. Man must labor for his food. Man dies spiritually. And death means that separation from God. Man was put out of the garden there. Paradise was lost. Guess what else was lost? Access to the tree of life. That's the result of sin. Because of the fall. This is what happened. And it was a ripple effect. By one man's sin. So remember, what you do, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Okay? Whatever we do, it affects others. It affects others. The good story is that God dealt, listen, before God ever put down the law or proclaimed the curses, he dealt with redemption. I don't know if that excites you. That makes me almost want to go ahead and go to next week's lesson. But I can't, because Brother Elvis is going to be with us. Not Elvis Presley, Elvis Sneathen. So don't come in here with your blue suede on next week. I'm looking for your hound dog. What else that old Elvis sang? I forgot. Anyway, I know all of you know his song. Some of you still got his collection. Some of you probably go to Glory Land. Not Glory Land. What's that place up there? See, I knew it. I knew what it was called. Graceland. Some of y'all think he's still alive, don't you? Well, God is good. Good to have y'all here. It's good to have been here to be able to study that portion there. In 2 weeks, we're going to get into redemption. 2 weeks. What a story. What a story. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for everything you've done for us. God, I pray that as we go our way tonight to acquire practices, I pray, God, we'd have our mind upon you, your word. We'd always hide your word in our hearts. We'd meditate on it day and night. We'd ponder. We'd find peace. The Bible says to us in Psalm 119, how can we cleanse our way? It's only through thy word. God, help us to understand how needful your word is for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.